Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to Judges chapter number 13. Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13. When you find that, stand in honor of reading the Word of God tonight. We'll read 6 or 7 verses tonight and try to give you the thoughts the Lord's got on our mind. Judges chapter 13. All right, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. The Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, thou art barren. Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not. But thou shalt conceive and bear a son." Verse number 4, "Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, and the child shall be a Nazareth unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." And go down to verse number 24, the Bible says, "And the woman bare a son," verse 24, "and the woman bare a son, and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move on him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtol." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you for your mercy. God, some of these songs, God, tonight have stirred our hearts. I'm glad, Lord, that you're on the throne. Glad that you're still in business. Thank you, God, that you're good. Lord, I think about this last youth choir song. God, just wanting to thank you one more time. God, it'll never be enough. We just keep having to do it another time and another time. But God, I thank you that you're faithful and glad that you're on the throne tonight. God, as we turn to your word tonight, I pray you'd help us, God, that we'd be able to bring our thoughts to captivity, that we could focus on what you have to say to us tonight. I pray that you touch each individual that's in this place. God, you knew I would stand tonight. You knew the thought you'd put on my heart. You knew the individuals that would be here. And God, you know exactly what we need. I'm glad, God, that your word has what we need. And I pray, God, that you'd help me. Lord, I pray that you would bring things to my memory. God, give me clear thought. Give me clear speech. But God, more than anything, I pray your touch be upon me, that I'd be able to express these things on my heart tonight. God, we need you tonight. I pray, Lord, that God, you'd be glorified in everything that's done tonight, and that your son would have preeminence in everything that's done. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I hope tonight, as I've looked at these texts, as I try to express to you what's on my heart, that I can actually communicate what I'm trying to communicate. Sometimes you can put an outline or a sermon together, and 1, 2, 3, it's saying exactly what you want it to say, but sometimes it's hard to bridge the gap between your heart and your notes. So I pray that God will help me tonight to be clear in what I say tonight. I've been trying to study on the life of Samson and look at some of these things in his life. And actually, I've got about 4 days on the calendar coming up soon that I'll be preaching here, and Lord willing, I'm going to stay in the life of Samson for a little while as we'll look at this. But tonight, I want to look at the birthing of Samson and just some typology in this text as we look at it. We all have friends and we all have loved ones that we want to see saved. We want to see birth. And the key word there is birth into the family of God. We want to have our witness to be effective so that when we witness to some people that we can see them birthed in the family of God. I love coming to the house of God and seeing people walk the aisle. I remember as a young boy when we were in a church and back in those days, it just seemed like if you could get somebody to the house of God, they wouldn't be able to step through the preaching of the Word of God with the touch of God on it and get out of there without being saved. It was just a great thing. And the sad thing is, time seemed to have changed. But you know, God hadn't changed. And I still believe there's that place. I know there's an effort that we put into it, but I know also it's the touch and the power of God. Now, as I look at this announcement of Samson's birth and what was going on, I think we can glean some things in his birth that we can turn and point to our lives and to our church and seeing people birth in the family of God. I want to see these pictures tonight, and I'll just bring out some points and some things that I see tonight about the birthing of Samson. First of all, I want to look at the period of his birth. Obviously, this takes place in the book of Judges. I mean, the book of Judges is known for apostasy. According to Schofield's notes and his introductory notes to this book, there was 7 apostasies, there was 7 repentances, and there was 7 bondages that they went through. That 7 is significant. It's a number of completion. But we find this in the middle of a time of apostasy. It was just a circle. And boy, if we could learn something from history, it'd be that man learns nothing from history. Obviously, you know the theme in the book of Judges. There was no king in the land, so every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And as we come to this text, we see in verse number 1 that the Philistines had come in and God had used them to judgment in this period. Look at this verse, and I'll just pull some things out of verse number 1. This period, it was a time of evil. Evil is sin, evil is wrong, and that's common in our day. And I'm going to say this as I mention all these things. Remember, in the midst of this day, God brought a birth about. But then it was a day of evil. Notice the word again. It was a day of repeated evil. Over and over and over again, continued failure that they faced. He goes on to say is in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord recognized this evil and he saw this evil. I want to remind you, God sees all. He is an omniscient, omnipresent God, and nothing is hid from him. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro through all the earth, beholding the good and the evil. You may get away from mom and dad. You may get away from your husband and wife. You may hide from the boss. You may hide from the preacher, but nothing that you do is hidden from God or outside of his knowledge. And Israel just hadn't done evil, but they'd done evil in the sight of the Lord. And every evil that you do, I remember Joseph, as Potiphar's wife was trying to seduce him. And he said, how can I do this evil in the sight of the Lord? And we need to realize who and what we're sinning against tonight. But he said he was after that. They did evil again in the sight of the Lord that he delivered them. I want you to know that God rewards evil. And every time in the book of Judges, when they did evil and they turned, they went into to worshiping of idols. And anytime there was idolatry, there was all kinds of sexual immorality. I tell you, I'm not going to get into that because I don't want to stir your mind up tonight, but it's as corrupt as anything you can imagine. When they started serving Molech and Ashtaroth and those gods, it was all sensuality. That tells how paganistic our society is today. But this evil, and for that, God delivered them into the bondage of the Philistines. Now, I want to say this about this bondage. They got everything that they deserved. Or let me say it another way, they deserved everything that we got. Can you imagine? Thank God for grace. Thank God for mercy. Thank God for the blood. But what if God held us in judgment for every time that we sinned? That's what happened to Calvary. He held Christ in judgment for every time that we sin. But I want to remind you, you keep going on sinning. You keep ignoring God's word. You keep ignoring God's plan. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 that if you be without chastisement, that you're bastards and not son. I encourage you, obey. Don't continue on in evil. But God delivered. They deserved everything they got. But in the midst of that sin, in the midst of that evil, it didn't stop the plan of God right in the middle of this evil. When it seemed so hopeless and that there was absolutely nothing that God could do for anybody or anything that anybody could do for God, God announced the birth of Samson. And boy, that's what I want to get across to you tonight. God is still in the birthing business. God, hallelujah, is still saving souls. I know it seems like sometimes we're on the gleaning side, but God is still in the saving business. It didn't exclude me. He didn't exclude you. That one that you're weeping over, that one that you're praying over, that one that you're witnessing to, God has not excluded them. Well, I feel like standing on the pulpit tonight saying, hallelujah, God's still in the saving business. And that'll encourage us not to give in, not to give up, not to give out. Keep passing out the tracts. Keep knocking on the doors. Keep walking the soles of your shoes off. Still keep praying for that loved one. Keep inviting them to the house of God. If I didn't believe that, I'd just forget it. Tell you what, and the sad thing is that needs to be more in the forefront of our thoughts, getting folks in. But I see the period of the verse, but look at the promise about this birth. I think of this woman. I'll throw this in. It's not in my outline, so Levi, it's free tonight. I'll give you this for free. But I want to ask you a question. What was Samson's mother's name? Brother Theologian Bill, it's Mrs. Manoah. That's what it is. She's not named. Boy, what a lesson to us, the one God used here. He didn't even give her a name. But I think about this promise. In verse number 3, I mean, he shows up to Miss Manoah one day. Now, let me say this. The fact that she was barren and she was having no children, that was a great disgrace in those days. And let alone not to have a man child. It's not that way now. Amen. I want to say that now, but I want to say spiritually it is. Spiritually, it's a great disgrace. Every day that goes by, every month that goes by, every year that goes by, and folks aren't getting saved, it's a disgrace to us. Because you know what? There's a lot of things in our life that we don't know we're supposed to be doing. But you know, the number one commission and the number one purpose of this church is to reach souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. And boy, our life ought to be driven. My life ought to be driven more. My prayer life, my study life, my everyday walk, my dealings with men, women, boys, or girls around me, around you, ought to be driven by the fact that they need to be saved and reaching them for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a lot easier preaching than it is living. May God stir that in her heart. But I'm glad that God's faithful to his promise. He said in verse 3, this angel appeared to Miss Manoah, Mrs. Manoah. And he said to her, thou shalt conceive. What wonderful news. What wonderful news. Miss Manoah, you're barren, but you're going to give birth. He said it again in verse number 5, for lo, thou shalt conceive. And he was repeating that to her. Let me say some things about the promises of God, even as I see in this text. And a good way to judge a promise is by its origin. Where did this promise come from that came from this angel? What's an angel? A messenger of God. Hey, a promise is no good, no better than the source behind it, no better than the one that can secure it or guarantee it. And I want to tell you that the promises of God are guaranteed by God's power, by God's person and his character. I love to sing that old song sometimes. He's never made a promise that he does not keep. Amen. And God is in the promise keeping business. I say it again. God is in the promise. He promised he'd save them. He's in the soul saving business. But I think about this as I look in this and I see this family tree of Samson. It lists in verse number two, it said a certain man of Zorah, a family of the Danites. And boy, I began to look at that, and I was remembering those last few chapters of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 49, as Jacob was dying, and he was giving his dying words to his children, and he gives some words to Dan. The Bible says in Genesis 49:17, Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path that biteth the horse heels, so that his rider shall fall backward. I have waited for thy salvation. I've looked at that. I've read what men said, and I can't help but to believe. I know prophecies have many fulfillments, but I believe this prophecy, you can find Samson in there. God reminded Dan one day, I'm doing it now. I'm going to do it again. I've read what men said, but some of Samson's exploits, as you read further in these chapters, are exemplary of that serpent, like laying a trap for those and bringing them down. But I see it in God's word. But I think about obstacles to their promise. There's always obstacles, always something in the way that we can say there's a problem to keep God from doing. I'm good at that. I am a consummate pessimist. I can see the half-empty side is good or better than anything. I can always see that that's going to go wrong. I can find that. I can pick it out. I am Mr. Negative. But I think about the obstacle, and there's a giant obstacle in the way of her having this child. I mentioned earlier, she was barren. Well, the thing is, you think of the great obstacle in your life. It's nothing new. That's not the first woman we've run into in the Bible that hadn't had a child. We can start going down through the Old Testament, start pointing out, I can show you a woman that was barren and 90 years old and God gave a child. We go over into the book of Samuel, just a few chapters over, probably near in this similar time slot when Hannah prayed, oh, that God would give me a man child, and God opened her womb. I want to tell you, it seems like there's dark days. And 2 Kings chapter 19 talked about, and Hezekiah, let me read that verse, 2 Kings chapter 19. Talk about God delivering. He paralleled it to a woman being pregnant. It says the children are come to the birth, but there's not enough strength to bring forth. It just seems like everything is against it. There's all kinds of obstacles, but I'm glad that God can. I think about their confidence in this promise. As I read this text, I think about Mr. and Mrs. Manoah. I know if you look at it, Manoah went to his wife and he wanted her to describe this man of God, this angel that came. He said, well, I didn't ask him who he was, where he came from. And he said, oh, I want to see him. So he prayed. Oh, Manoah went to praying before God and asking God to show this angel to him. Well, the angel shows up again to Mrs. Manoah. And she runs to Manoah and she tells him that the angel's there. And I notice as I read this text, as they begin to question this angel, not one time they ask if. They didn't question how this baby was going to be born, if it's actually going to happen. They were more concerned about how they were going to raise this child. I will know, remind you, you can have confidence in the promises of God. Don't question God's work. Hey, we try to do a lot of things to impress God. We dress ourselves up and we try to look good for everybody else. But you know what pleases God? Faith. Bible says without faith, it's impossible to believe, to please God. I see the period of this birth and the promise of this birth, but let's look at some prohibitions to observe in this birth. It's going to get fun now. Go ahead and say amen now. That way I have it stored up for later. Amen. But prohibitions to observe. As this angel gave this announcement to Mrs. Manoah, and he told her, he said in verse number 4, he said, beware. As this child's about to come, he wants her to set a watch. Look at these verses again. Beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. And basically that's repeated in verse number 7 or verse number 14. Now I'm going to give you the principle here. We're talking about wanting to see people birth. I'm wanting to see it in my own life. I'm wanting to see it down at the house of God. Well, the thing is, there's a principle. For that to happen, we need God's blessing on us. Everybody talks about God's blessing financially and physically as far as your health. But boy, the greatest blessing I believe God could put on us and God could put on Gateway Baptist Church is to make us fruitful and make us a soul-saving station. I believe it could do that. But the principle here is you can't live just any old way. You can't act any old way and do any old thing and expect God's blessing on you. This is what I preach to my boys. If you want God to bless your life, you better bless God with your life. But I think about these things. He mentioned three things. Now, I thought I was going to call the preacher down this morning. He got the nosing around in my sermon tonight. And I was just talking to him a little bit before. We talk all the time. But sure as I talk to him about something I want to preach, that rascal gets up and tries to preach my sermon. And I told him about it after church, too. See, I don't talk about the preacher. I talk to the preacher. Amen. That's free, too, Levi. That ain't my line either. But things that are mentioned here that she needed to beware of or keep watch of, here we are, abstinence to wine or alcohol. Now, I'm just going to give you some scriptures here, and I'll say another word in a minute because I want to use this as an illustration. And it's amazing. Preacher said how many times this has come up. People have talked to me, folks asking them questions. I'm going to give you some Bible verse. If you don't know, you may want to mark these down, make a note in your Bible, make a note. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 1. Pastor Shelton quoted this verse this morning, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. If you turn over a page or two to Proverbs chapter 23 and verse number 29, the Bible says, who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contention? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, and they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth itself color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright in the cup. Fermented, what it's trying to say. At the last it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth like an adder. Look at Romans chapter number 13. Romans chapter 13 and verse number 13. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. Here's the key. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Romans chapter 14 verse 21. It is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine nor anything whereby my brother stumbleth nor is offended or is made weak. I'm going to say some more about this in just a minute, but talked about abstinence to wine. Then he went on to say avoiding the unclean, partaking things. That word unclean shows up in the New Testament where he said, Second Corinthians chapter 6, where he said, touch not the unclean thing. And I know in our text, it was dealing with the eating. Man, what if we got into what we eat tonight? What if those Levitical laws and those dietary laws were, man, I'd lose my salvation. I might be so bad on that. I was at the hospital the other week with Brother Carroll, and we were looking at those diets in there, and everything I ate was on the don't eat list. I'm not exaggerating. My two biggest problems for my acid reflux are my two biggest vices: chewing gum and soda. Pray for me. Oh, pray for me. But avoiding the unclean, there's things, get back to unclean, that can defile us. There's things in this world that defile us. You realize that? We're in the world, Jesus said, but we are not of the world. But there's avoiding the unclean. But then there's something else he mentions when she goes to talking about Samson. Acknowledgement of a commitment. Called him a Nazarite from his birth. That means set apart. That's similar. Try a New Testament word, saint, a holy one, or a consecrated one, or set apart. Now, why did God put these demands on her? Now, just like as I've got a brand new grandbaby, and Lindsay didn't find out she was pregnant with Kennedy and wait 9 months slow to run to the doctor, I got a bellyache. When she found out she was pregnant, she began to go to the doctor. And the doctor began to follow up and give what they call prenatal care. Now, I've met people that didn't have prenatal care. Trust me, I can tell. It's health. And for that child to be born safely, there needed to be prenatal care. And boy, I believe that there's a parallel spiritually. If we want lost souls to be birthed in connection with our lives or in the house of God, we need to take some prenatal care. Now, there was three controversial issues that I mentioned just now. I mentioned drinking, I mentioned separation, and that Nazarite, he said never to have a haircut. I mentioned hair. Woo! About to wade into it now, Bill. You ready? Now, I think about this. I thought about this today. Drinking. Why would you want to drink? Why, as a child of God, would you feel the need to take a drink of alcohol? Why? The times in my life that I've been pressured was peer pressure, and I was the wrong place with the wrong peers. Can I just say this? If you got peer pressure, you got the wrong peers. You need some new peers. Amen. That's free counsel. And I'm warning you, listen to that tonight. But why? I mean, why? Have you ever thought about that? We're arguing about something. I'm asking, why in the world do you need to do that? Why in the world do you want to be like the world? This world hates God. This world detests God. We've seen that woman on Facebook and social media that was just evil and blasphemed over her Emmy Award or whatever award that was, said Jesus didn't have nothing to do with. I mean, you want to be like that? You want that to set your standard? Who's supposed to be like who? Why does hair have to be an issue? Say, well, how long's long? I'll give you the verse, and I'll say some more in just a minute. The Bible says, doth not nature itself, 1 Corinthians 10:14, teach you that it's a shame for a man to have long hair? Well, where's the boundary? Where's the boundaries? Need to be like mine? Does it need to be high and tight? Does it need to be tapered? Does it need to be, what is the boundary? Well, here's the problem. Here's why you can't find the boundary in these things. Because what we're doing is we're trying to see how close we can get to the world and trying to figure out what we can get by with. And it's backwards. Quit trying to figure out what you can get by with and start drawing up close to God, and that'll solve that issue. See, I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. This is God's temple. That dictates how I dress when I come to church. That dictates how I dress when I go out there. That dictates what I drink that would harm my testimony. Think about this. What would you do if you, let me just be honest with you. Let's just throw this out there. You went down to one of these restaurants at Westgate, and me and the preacher and Renee and my wife were sitting down there. You walked up to that table, Renee or my wife had on a halter top, her short shorts, and me and the preacher sitting there drinking a beer. And a Budweiser shirt on. Well, you know what? The Lord knows my heart. He does. He knows my heart, and I can do that stuff to be right. Well, I'm going to tell you what, the Lord knows my heart, but the world don't. That lost man that you're trying to reach don't know your heart. He can't hear your heart. He's looking at you walk. He can't even hear you talk because you walk's too loud. And what he is asking them to do in this text, how important is it to you for a birth? How big of a deal is it for a birth? What kind of price are you willing to pay for a birth? These ladies in this room, these mothers, they walked through the valley of death to birth a baby into this world, beloved. And boy, what's it worth? What price are we willing to pay? Is it worth the length of a hair? Is it worth a wine glass? Is it worth some kind of a wardrobe? Boy, I tell you what, we ought to be willing to pay any price. Man, if it's shaving our hair slick, wearing dresses to our ankles, and never wearing makeup, I mean, whatever it is, we ought to be willing to pay the price. What are we measuring by? Hey, what's the goal? To please God and see souls saved. When I say it again, quit trying to see what you can get by with and see what I can do to please my Lord. And let me say this, there's a crowd that dots all their I's, crosses all their T's, and think that makes them right with God. All you are is religious, and part of that crowd's the meanest bunch I've ever seen in my life. Because you can have the outside, you better have the heart right. Well, I hope you understood all that. That's kind of spewing out everywhere. But listen, we are the only gospel some people are ever going to see preached. And he said in Matthew 5, he said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." He said in Philippians, I'll give you these other two verses, Titus 2:10, "Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things." You're not just dressing you, friend. You're dressing your gospel message. And see, here it is. If what they've got is as good as what you've got, they don't need what you've got. He said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, "Only let your conversation, your walk, your manner of life be as becometh the gospel of Christ." You're dressing the gospel. But I'll give you this in closing tonight. You know, I think about this before I get this last point. What did Samson's parents respond to this? Boy, they verified one more time. Manoah prayed that angel come, tell us one more time what we're supposed to do. One more time what we're supposed to do. They recognized the possibility. Boy, there was going to be a great deliverer born. Now, we're not getting the rest of Samson's life. We're just dealing with the principle right now. There was going to be one that was going to have an effect on people around him. Because here's the deal. We're not just reaching people to rescue them for hell. We're trying to reach people that will reach somebody else. You know, you think of people you see sitting on a church or up on a platform singing or somewhere preaching. It wasn't always that way. Somewhere they had to get birth. I wasn't born this way, friend. I wasn't born leading the choir. I wasn't born with a red Scofield in my Bible. I was born in sin, and somebody had to take interest in me. Somebody had to show me there was something real, and because of a lifestyle that I knew I needed what they had. Salt of the earth is what the Bible says. Now, I know this ain't popular, but I'm going to tell you it's right. Samson's mom and dad submitted to these commands. And I encourage you to submit to these commands too. But then in closing, this last part of this chapter tonight gets into some typology and that's above my intelligence. But there's proof here that what this angel did in these texts just give evidence. God just gave them a token that he'd do. And there's something that we see in verse number 19 and 20. Bible says, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation." I'm in Philippians. That's not the 19:20 I want. Judges, again, verse chapter 13, verse 19 and 20. It says, "So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon the rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar that the angel of the Lord ascended into the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground." Here's the proof of it. In this proof, we get a glimpse of what is the saving force of everybody that's been saved by the grace of God. I look at this offering, that meat offering. You know what that's a picture of? That's a picture of Calvary. That's a picture of Jesus dying on the cross and being our sin substitute. The Bible says he had made him be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I see the wonder working of this angel. That's a picture of the resurrection. And I'm glad that Jesus just didn't die, but I'm glad that he rose again from the dead on the third day. I want to tell you, if I didn't believe that, that's what saves men, Calvary and the resurrection. But then the fact that angel ascended in that fire, and ascended into heaven like Jesus did, it's him at the right hand of God tonight. Hebrews 7:25 says he ever liveth to make intercession for us. I want to tell you, everything that needs to be done for a man to be saved, every provision, every preparation, everything that needs to be done, Jesus finished it at Calvary. That's the gospel message. I mean, what is it going to take? You think of that one you're praying for. You think of people in the world you'd like to see reach, and you see how wicked they are. Well, I can't reach them. Nope, you sure can't. But boy, it don't go beyond the bounds of Calvary. I probably told you this story time and time again. I remember reading once of a tavern owner somewhere over in England. And he was dying, and boy, the guilt of his whole life was laying on him. He called for a preacher. The preacher that came in was a hireling. And he tried to tell this preacher, he said, Can God save me? And I've took shoes off of children's feet. I've broken home with my liquor. Can God save me? And that hireling, he didn't like the fact. He was in the works, didn't know the truth. And he stumbled and stammered and stuttered. And finally, the guy ran him out. They went and found another preacher of the gospel that knew the truth. And he took the word of God. And on the deathbed of that sorry, wicked man, he was birthed in the family of God before he went out into eternity. Well, the first preacher that went in there, the hireling, I hope this is clear to you, he was frustrated. He began to talk to a friend of his, telling him what happened. He said, "Do you believe that a deathbed confession can atone for a life of sin?" The old guy looks at him and says, "No, sir, but Calvary can. Calvary can." And I want to tell you, it worked for you. It worked for me. Hey, what else do we need? We look at the promises. God's laid out a standard. I guess I'll give you all this. Do you want to see people saved? Isn't it wonderful to be around? I'm enjoying being around Kennedy. I've been able to be around her. We've got some kids my wife has kept, and they loan to us, and they're like my grandchildren. And sometimes they come up with these new words, and it's hilarious. And what a kid will say sometimes, it's the wrong word, and watching them get happy and excited and be completely wrong. But you know, I think about, I've been around some new converts in my life. They get excited. They don't know what they're talking about. And can I use you, Angie? Can I tell your story? Angie just got saved. She's sitting right over there. She got excited. She didn't know how to shout. She just stood up and said, "Hot diggity dog." What a blessing. Hallelujah. And what a blessing. That's the life. That's the life of the church. It's not all us old deadheads. It's lost souls being saved in birth. But I want to tell you, it ain't going to happen by accident. Boy, there's such grace involved in Samson's birth. I said, not going to happen by accident. I don't see anybody praying for deliverance. 40 years. The longest captivity they faced in the book of Judges. 40 years. They were there. And God in his mercy popped up and said, "I'm going to give you a birth." I want to tell you, I don't want to wait on that. God, give us a birth. Boy, couldn't we just go in together and ask God to fertilize these altars one more time? God, liberate these services one more time. Power of the preaching, boy, we get excited. Do we believe God enough that we say, "Why don't you come to church and hear what that preacher's got to say?" See, our faith shot. We've lost hold of the promises of God. Boy, I hope what's in my heart, I can't get to my mouth tonight. But I can tell you this, boy, would to God that we could see some more birth here and in our own lives. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name tonight. And Lord, I thank you for liberty. Thank you for your help. Thank you, Lord, for the attentiveness of your people. And God, I know that my efforts and my expositions and my explanations fall short. But God, I pray that the Holy Ghost, Lord, would just take what's been said tonight. God, you'd stir hearts. God, I know there's people in this room. God, they give out tracts. They try to witness to people. There's folks here that are faithful on visitation. God, I know there's people here that don't care. God, I know there's people here that live right and walk right. And God, I know there's people that don't. God, I pray you'd help us to realize the awful cost of living carelessly. I pray, God, you'd burden us, Lord. Oh, God, we'd be willing to pay the price in our own personal life just to see somebody saved. But God, I pray you'd just give this invitation. God, say what needs to be said tonight. And God, we'll praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around but this preacher. It may be that you're one that needs to be birthed tonight. Would there be one in the house tonight say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. Would you pray for me?" Anybody like that? I'm just taking a minute to look over the congregation. I'm just going to take it for that everybody's saved. I'm going to open up this altar tonight. Brother Ian's going to sing. If God spoke to your heart, I'll be honest with you. If he hadn't, and you need him to speak to your heart, this altar's open. You just do what the Lord's, respond to what the Lord's dealt with you about tonight.